what I get for lying to myself. But fuck it, what's more important is he's crying out for help. While the world's egging him on, I'm begging him to stop it. Playing his old, knowing he won't top it. False prophets. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophets. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah, false. I got a homie, he a rapper and he wanna win bad. He want the fame, the acclaim, the respect that's been had by all the legends. So every time I see him, he's stressing. Talking about, don't f*** with him, it's depressing. And I know he's so bitter, he can't see his own blessings. Got you too blind to see you got fans and a platform to make a classic rap song and changing life. But you too anxious living life, always worry about the critics who ain't never fucking did it. I write what's in my heart, don't give a fuck who fucking with it. But in a sense, I can relate. The need to be great turns into an obsession and keeps a nigga up late writing words, hoping people observe the dedication that stirs in you constantly. But intentions get blurred. Do I do it for the love of the music, or is there more to me? Do I want these to worship me? False prophets. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophets. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah, false prophets. These rappers insecure. They talk about being a man so much I finally understand that they ain't even sure about who they are and why they do this. Guess I'm included in that category. Yes, and the who done had the glory. My highest moments come from telling all the saddest stories I've seen in my life. I be fiending to write songs that raise a hair on my arms. My lowest moments came from trying too hard to impress some niggas that couldn't care for mom. Therefore, from here on out, my hair grow out. I care nothing about opinions. I wanna give hope like the fountains you throw pennies in. Hit the store, take your disc, make your wish. This is dedicated to the ones that listen to me on some faithful shit. I'm on some thankful shit. But the real God is in you, not the music you copping. I hit my O's and know I can top it. False prophets. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophets. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. False prophets.
Peace, family. It's your big brother, Hard Body Dreams. This is that joint, Terrace Martin, Paradise. The remix of Sade, man. Enjoy this tune. We gonna be right back with the interview, baby. Let's go.
I'd wash the sand off the shore.
Thank you.
Peace, family. It's your host, Supreme Freedom. We in the building right now. Couple of technical difficulties, but we still moving. You know what I'm saying? You can't stop us, baby. As always, we here, man. We got our brother Lincoln Thorne in the building. And look, man, I've been really excited to have you on the show, B. And so everybody, and we got look, man, I'ma just let y'all introduce yourself.
Yes.
Let's go.
This is Albert St. Albert Smith. I taught at Simon Fraser from 1981 to 2016. I'm an old man. I play the drums for 50 years.
No doubt.
And I've been everywhere almost in the world. So I'm helping my brothers, my young brothers here.
That's right.
And to keep the happening.
Keep the happening happening, baby. You heard it live, 106 o'clock blitz. Who else we got up next on the roster?
We got Lincoln Thorne, or they call me Links. I got my name because I used to put on all these events, and then I put on these events. It wouldn't make any money. but I get that call the next day about, hey, Lincoln, thanks for hooking me up. I met this. So my friend was like, yo, you're like Links, man. You always hooking people up, bro. You put on these parties. I've been putting on parties. I've been here since 88. I've been putting on events in this town since I started in the 90s. I had a gallery down by the steam cloth. Remember that? Where people now loiter and litter. On the fifth floor, we were up there, and we were facing North Van, so you can understand, we had a vibe going there. We actually started at midnight, because back in the days, everything closed at midnight. So we had this thing called Speakeasy, or Easy Booze Can, and Speakeasy and all these things like that back in Van City. It was really black up in here, too. A lot of the black Americans were here. We were wilding out back in the 80s, in the early 90s. I didn't know the 90s was, like, full of music. So music was, like, full effect. The spot, I built the stage. I had the artsy-fartsy people that I hanged out with. And we had a gallery.
The artsy-fartsy, man. My brother Guilty, like, Black, love that word. Yeah, that's the one.
Like
the artsy-fartsy.
And we ended up with like 32 skids because everybody wanted to come to our spot. It was a late night spot. I said we have to do booze cans, like live music. So even the jazz festival people started to have our spot as an after-hours spot for jazz.
Uh-huh.
Francois Houle and all the gang. I've been doing a lot in this city, man. But I don't like to do interviews and all that shit. I just kind of go to work. You know, I'm a Capricorn, so I just work. I don't care for glitz and glamour, all that stuff. Everybody wants that. I let them shine. I just make sure that black people are together and do it, because that's where I came from. I came from T-Dot, and I grew up in the inner city. You know, my father was in New York, so he had us over there in Brooklyn. We did Chronicles of Brooklyn, like Spike Lee. We were all over Brooklyn. And then he didn't like Brooklyn, and he didn't like America, so we went back to Canada. And then it was the 70s when we went. He came in the 60s. My dad was part of the People for the Caravana. So I came up with in a kind of philanthropic family, organizing. He got a spot in Brampton, Toronto, and he wanted to get all the black people to buy houses. Me and Albert were talking about buying houses back in the days. Albert will tell you, he bought his spot because it was cheap back then. We wanted to create a community. So I came from that kind of stock, and this is me in the intro, right?
No doubt, man. And I know you don't like the interviews, but I had to get you up here, bro, because I mean, you know, we see the people that are doing, you know, the work, but, you know, people don't always see like the mastermind behind it all. Right. And sometimes people need to see the mastermind. You know what I mean? Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. Right. Depending on the context and what cipher you're dealing with. Right. And then you got the legend here, man, Albert. You know what I'm saying? Like, give the audience, a bit of an intro about yourself, man. Like, because you. I mean, this is your stomping grounds, SFU.
I got our department in school for contemporary arts. We were in trailers over here and over on the west side of the campus here. And they had us, and they wanted, and they said, oh, I said, well, it's about time we started the Black History Month program. So my department allowed me to do that. I was the only black person in the department and the faculty. So they said, okay, Albert, you can run faculty. So I ran faculty shows. We had Caribbean, we had Africa, Ghana, Nigeria, we had Brazil, we had African people from Canada singing opera. We had a filmmaker brother from making a film that made a film about doing some great things about the 1858 when the black people came out from California, Mount Zion Baptist Church.
That's right.
Yeah, Mount Zion Baptist Church. We had all kinds of programs going on. We had, I think, one of the leading programs that I was really respectful of having Jenny Legong, who danced with Bojangles Robinson and sang with Fats Waller in 1935, and she was living up here teaching dance. And she was an elder. She was in her 80s teaching. And we had her up here, and we said, man, you know, like, I didn't know that you were Minnie? Cap Calloway's Minnie the Moocher?
That's right.
She was Cap Calloway's Minnie the Moocher. And that song became a really big. I mean, people still know Cap Calloway singing Minnie the Moocher, but they didn't know who Jenny Legong was. She finally passed on, and she's in history. Like your
my great grandma.
She was a powerful singer. When I saw her sing, I said, this woman sings better than Ella Fitzgerald. Better than Ella Fitzgerald. At her age, I mean, Ella Fitzgerald died early.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely.
Oh, Eleanor Collins lived to be 104.
That's right.
I said, powerful. That's some powerful roots.
Yes.
Powerful roots.
Yes.
So the black community here in Canada, in Western Canada, has been strong for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And so young people like yourself and Lincoln doing things, trying to get people there, keep it up. Please keep it up. Me at 78, it's hard for me to get around, but I still play those drums. I still play those drums all the time. I didn't bring a drum with me, but I bought my flute.
Okay. You got your sax?
I got my sax here, too.
Okay. This is live. You hearing this right now. All my audience, you listening to it right now. We live on the radio. Come on, man. Stop it. Let's go, man. What you got? I love it.
Yeah, I'll bust out my sax in a second. And I echo the same thing that Albert's talking about, is that we got to keep it going. Black is in. Black has always been in. Black never went out. So anybody tell you there's no black here, I heard that when I got back here in 2019. I thought that was some silly talk. Because did you know that, you know, in Emancipation Proclamation, Douglas was the father of E.C. You know, the father
James
of
Douglas, man.
Is mixed. Right?
Yeah.
He's got an African mother,
yep.
Creole mother. And she sent him with his father to up in Scotland, I believe.
Yeah.
Sent him to Jesuit school, French school. So he was able to come to Canada as a prospector for the first company of Canada was Hudson Bay.
Hudson Bay.
They put him all in, and this was jungle.
Yeah.
This was crazy jungle.
Wilderness.
To come up in here. But James came up in here and was able to deal with the natives, because the natives, you know, they're always fighting territorial and stuff like that with other native tribes. It's like 250 bands in BC alone, people.
No doubt.
So we have to give thanks to the St. Hillish, the Slaver Tooth, you know, the Musqueam, all those people.
Squamish,
yep. They raped their land, man. So, you know, we're on unceded land, people.
That's
so
right.
We just visitors here. So,
on stolen
so
land.
Respect the property, respect the land. And, yeah, it's time for us to have more a nutritious mind. I mean, we're so inundated with the mainstream of Eurocentricity that we don't have enough Afrocentricity,
right.
Which is a majority of the world's population
That's
is
right.
Afrocentric. So I see right now that
mm-hmm.
there is an influx of Afrocentricity with the new immigrants from the East, like from Africa, from South America. They're all coming up here. And that's what happened when they had the gold rush and the fur trade.
That's it.
After the emancipation in the Dred Scott, you read about Dred Scott, man, it's happening now. Trump is trying to make Dred Scott come back, and that was the catalyst to the Jim Crow.
Mm.
So a lot of black people came up to Canada.
Yeah.
Because James was trying to create the 49th parallel.
Yeah.
And giving them a lot of land. So they got their 40 acres of meal here in Vancouver and all up north. I used to live in Prince George.
Mm.
Prince George used to be the wildest place north of Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine all the people up there, and they run with there's two rivers called the Nechaco and the Fraser, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a highway. That's how they ran the lumber. That's how they ran. Barbers would come up here, black barbers. They would go on down on the river, cutting here. A lot of men, even Trump's daddy and his people had hotels up there. So this place was like full. It was gold, right?
100%.
So that's what brought a lot of people. Black people came because they work. We're the best workers. That's why slavery happened, because we work hard. They used to use everybody, every other culture, but black culture worked the hardest. And that's why we built this before everybody came, which is why we got hijacked, right? And I'm sure Hardbody's been spitting the knowledge of our ancestry. And this whole educational system needs to change. I think we've gotten too fat on Europeanism.
Yeah.
We're so malnutritious on Afrocentricity. So we need to get fat. So then if we have both brains working, man, we'll go far, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And you know, and I think really like as much as, you know, I want, you know, brothers and sisters to you know, rise to the occasion. I think for really there has to be a collaboration between all nations. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, through my own studies, I see, right, like the leaders of these nations, I mean, they know who we are, right? They know what we've done. And you know, the ones who respect us, you meet them in the streets. You know, you meet them where you're at, right? Like the ones who don't even see you know, the color of somebody's skin, you know what I'm saying? And in my opinion and what I know is that it's going to take, you know, all ethnicities to come together to collaborate and, you know, to build the world up, right? Because obviously it's not even so much about race anymore. It's more so that I'm not saying that it's not, but I'm also saying that it's more about, we're dealing with more of you know, social economics, you know. It doesn't really matter, you know, what color your skin is. If you're either going to be upper class or you're going to be lower class, right? Like, it ain't even going to be any middle, right? And really, it's about all of us coming together. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you know, it's like, bro, it's like our own people will sell us out. You know what I'm saying? Before the next man, you know? And that's the part that it's like more disturbing. When you look at Marcus Garvey, right? You know, it's like his whole organization, his whole movement got taken down because J. Edgar Hoover hired the first black federal agent to take him down, right? And then they hit him with these, you know, different, you know,
Yep.
And so, oof. The sounds of the street as the boy walks on the concrete.
I'll play it in your key.
Oh man, keep it going, man. We about to get into some spoken word right now. You hear the rhythm, the vibration of the sax as it walks through the concrete. The flute sounding like a canary bird in the jungle as the lions roar and the stomachs rumble. Fade to black. To all our listeners, you gotta know, man, these is quadruple OGs. They like, these brothers came here, they just play. Look, man, this is what it's about. This is a real life cipher going on right now.
Yes, we are one family.
I love it.
All races, but we all came from the mother of mothers, Africa, the continent we call today Africa. Every single person on this planet, ancestors came out of Africa, and they were black.
No doubt.
They were black. And the colors changed when they migrated out of that wonderful, warm, passionate environment we call Eden.
Mm.
So, yeah, keep it rocking. Because when we talk about this vibe, and we're here to express ourselves and get in on the groove, one thing you got to remember and understand is that the mother is Africa. We all are her children, right? So just remember that you have to come back to your mama. And I think that's what's going on now. We need to make an exodus. No more backpacking to Europe. Backpack to Africa. This is what is the future, because Africa is the future. It's all about bone structure. It's all about skill set, right? Staying in your lane, overstanding and not understanding. It's all about what's going down this Friday. That's why we're here, because we'll be bigging up a legacy establishment, a Jamaican vibe, because a lot of, even the hip hop, all that comes through from the Caribbean. I'll let you know, Kool Herc knows he's a Caribbean man. Most of us that know all about toasting and all of that. Remember, back in the days, hip hop was actually about speaking power to the people, speaking about liberation, speaking about strength and guidance, speaking about how you got the vibes, you know, to set it off, right? And then somebody else would tell me something else, and then we call that toasting. So there's a history to all what this is going on, and I think right now is a revival. People are getting back to vinyl records, people are getting back to even, you know, what we used to know. And that's what's been suppressed. So this Friday, what I'm trying to say is that there's a spot called Rhythm and Space. And big up to Hard Body for letting us come here and bless it and big it up. Andre,
Abu,
he had a spot. It's called Nuff Niceness. And then he changed it to Rhythm and Spice. He had to move. But it's still going strong. It started in the 90s, 80s, I think. was it started as a cafe, actually. And here it is now, still around, as a black establishment, you know, still cooking up. Because black people is all about the food. It's all about the good vibes. You know, we don't hate. We never drop the bomb on anybody. But every time everybody sees us, there's this fear factor. What is the fear? The fear is that you don't have enough black in you. So you need to go out there and hug a brother, hug a sister, tell them what time it is, tell them, show them some love. Because you know what? It is February, and yeah, it is Black History Month. But it's Black History Month every day, every second, every hour, because we don't even know our history. We don't even know that there was more black people in Vancouver long time ago, in the late 1800s. They were all up here. We just told you about it. So that's what we need. We need balance in our community, in our communities. And we need calm. We need to meditate. We need to shut off our apps and all that and get back to what really matters, and that's the Mother Earth. We need to protect her. And we need to, like, stop the hate. And I know it's a cliquey town. Everybody has their little enclave. You know, Jamaicans over here, Trinidadians over here, Ghanaians over here, Nigerians. Come on, people.
Come together.
We are more than the stems of our parts. So please, take the time to come out. Invest the time to understand, because the elder's going to be up in there. We got Phyllis Adelaine, beautiful singer. Old school. She's got the hits. She keeps them coming. We got Earl the Pearl, one of the first DJs. I came out here in the 80s looking for some spice, some vibrations. Earl the Pearl was dropping the needle, right? North people from the culture come true. Who else we got popping up? I think we even have a lady that owned one of the biggest hair salons on Commercial Drive called Deja Vu, Dolores.
Oh, yeah.
She'll be up in there. Cross speaking her truth. So this is happening on Friday at 7 o'clock, Commercial Drive, 1945 Commercial Drive. I can't say no more, you know. I want to get back to the music, but enough respect. Do come out. I came all the way up to USFU to just to shout out, be with my boy Hard Body, and let him know that this is what's up, and I appreciate you.
Man, that was beautiful, man. Appreciate you too, brother. I appreciate you. I really do. I do. We're going to run a PSA. We're going to run some tunes, and we're going to come back because I got a couple more questions for y'all elders, man.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers establish the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.